What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping another loss for the Washington Wizards. Not a surprising loss by any means, but another loss nonetheless. It's their fourth loss in a row, their fourth straight loss by double digits, a 119 to 105 defeat in Los Angeles at the Intuit Dome to the Los Angeles Clippers, who are playing good basketball as of late. But again, the Wizards lost, and we're going to be here to talk about it. There's going to be, again, a lot of Trae Young talk because there were reports that came out today, obviously, concerning his injury and how long he's going to be out. Some dialogue about tanking and that type of stuff that will certainly, I think, get to and probably start the show with because I think that's the most pressing news. And then to get into a game where the Wizards lost Bilal Coulibaly to injury in the beginning, lost Alex Saar to an ejection in the beginning, fought pretty hard to get their selves back, but obviously ended up losing. So, to start the game, you got to start or start the pod. You got to start with Trae Young, who, as was reported by Shams Charania of ESPN earlier on Wednesday, is expected to be sidelined through the All-Star break and reevaluated then, which would be on February 19th, by the Wizards, due to his right knee MCL sprain that he suffered in the beginning of the season, as well as his right quad contusion that I think he missed 5 games with the Hawks with before missing obviously the first 3 games since he's been with the Wizards. So 8 total games with that, 20 games with the MCL sprain. And the Wizards are clearly being cautious with him, right? And I said this when they acquired him, that I didn't think he would probably play much basketball for them this season, obviously, given at that time they were playing really good basketball. Winners of 7 of their last 12 games, were right on the edge of the bottom four at the fourth worst record, kind of teetering with Brooklyn and others on maybe getting out of that. And all of that kind of combined to just the, pretty easy assumption and realization that he wasn't going to play much, if at all, with the Wizards. So again, it's not surprising news, right? You thought the Wizards might be, holding him out, and there wasn't going to be an official "he's out for this long" type of diagnosis. But based on Shams' reporting, that's 15 games that Trae's going to miss. So the first 18 games, the next 15 until the All-Star break, plus the 3 he's already missed against the Pelicans, the Suns, and tonight against the Clippers, is going to be the first 18 games that Trae Young, since Trae Young's been acquired by the Wizards, he's pretty much officially been ruled out of. Again, if you're a Wizards fan, I think this is welcome news, especially if you were one of those Wizards fans that was really in my mentions and in my comments and just overall nervous about the Wizards playing too well and winning too many games, saying that they're not going to keep their pick. It's welcome news because it clearly showcases that that is priority number one. And so look, Trae Young has injuries, and the Wizards are being overly cautious with them. That's one way to approach it. And obviously, you have a lot of Knicks fans who were in Shams' comments complaining, and Brooklyn Nets fans complaining and saying the league needs to investigate the Wizards, that they're tanking, and like Adam Silver needs to do something about it, and all that stuff. Look, I said this when they acquired Trae Young, that they were going to hold him out, and I said it in the days since, and it's my same thought process. Nets fans, Knicks fans, you can be upset all you want, right? Like the Nets, I guess they're upset because they want to have a good pick and people were getting on them for tanking last year. So I guess they're like, why isn't the same thing being held for the Wizards, the same standard? Knicks fans, obviously, they get the Wizards pick if it isn't in the top eight. And they obviously thought with the Trae Young trade that that pick was as good as theirs. Clearly, they didn't understand anything about the Wizards or the fact that the front office does know also that they need to be bottom four to keep their pick. And so those fans are upset and they're saying the Wizards are tanking other fan bases as well. And they're calling for a league investigation. They're calling for punishment and stuff like that. It's not going to happen, right? Like there's no chance that the league gets that mad to where like some fans were mentioning that they take away the Wizards' first round pick this year. Like maybe it gets to a point like it did with the Jazz last year where the Wizards get fined 100K. And I've said it a million times, they would pay 10 times that. They'd pay 20, 30 times that. They do not care as long as they get their pick this year and also lose enough to give themselves, a chance to obviously get the number one pick. Because I think a lot of guys, a lot of fans are getting held up in the fact that they need to be bottom four record-wise to keep it. But the Wizards want to be the worst possible record because that ensures, their floor how far they can fall is less and less the worse that they are. And so if they're the worst team, they can only fall to five. If they're the second worst team, they can only fall to six. And so while a bunch of Wizards fans are out there just kind of stressing about, just be the fourth worst team, and I don't care where you're at that point, the Wizards want more. I wouldn't say they're getting greedy, but like the more they lose, obviously, the better it is, and the better their draft pick will be realistically. And so, again, like I mentioned, other fans are going to be upset for tanking. Like, are the Wizards tanking? Yes, and I've been very clear about that. I've not sugarcoated it. If you are watching the games, you understand how good this team is playing. You understand the rotations and the guys that they're not playing versus the guys that they're playing, the lineups they're putting out there versus the lineups they probably should be putting out there, how cautious they're being with a guy like Trae Young and his injury. They're tanking. But the main question that needs to be asked is it illegal? And nobody is even considering the fact that Trae Young is just injured. Like, is he as injured as the Wizards are making it out to be? Maybe not. If the Wizards were, instead of 10 and 29, 29 and 10, would Trae Young be way closer to returning? I'm sure Trae Young wouldn't be out through the All-Star break, I can tell you that. But he sprained his MCL. And he did that with the Hawks. He came back, then got a quad injury. And so people are just kind of assuming like Trae Young just magically healed from that MCL. They're saying as if there's no possible way that the Hawks rushed him back to sort of see if they could get one last good run in with him and the team if before maybe coming to that realization that they needed to trade him. Maybe they were the ones saying you're healthy enough to play, and then he re-injures the quad, and maybe with the Wizards they take a look at that MCL and they're like, hey, maybe he could play, but there's certainly a risk for re-aggravation or further injury, so we're going to be cautious and hold him out. It goes both ways. The Wizards are being very cautious, but he's also injured. It's not like the Jazz last year where they're making up injuries for Lauri Markkanen and this is injury management or sore right knee when he's never had that injury at all. Like, that stuff will get flagged and they'll get fined. But these were two injuries that the Hawks were listing him with the entire season. Since he got hurt with the MCL and then since he got hurt with the quad, these were consistent injuries. And the fact that fans are trying to, opposing teams' fans are trying to undermine that and say that they're making these things up, that is false. If you say that the Wizards are tanking, again, I can't tell you that part is false, but everything that they're doing to me is under the realm of the league rules. And if you're going to be mad at anybody, you need to be mad at the league. You need to be mad at Adam Silver. Because again, as someone that covers the Wizards, I called opposing teams out last year, like the Jazz. The Sixers tank last year was absolutely egregious, right? Certainly those two, right there, other teams as well, like the Nets and so on, certainly did their best to tank. All those teams that tanked, like the Knicks and stuff for Zion in 2019, the teams that tanked for Wemby, it's not a new thing. This has been happening around the league for years, and I have been saying, and pretty much every fan base that's been affected by it has been calling for Adam Silver and the league to have stricter rules on tanking. Just because the Wizards are being cautious with Trae Young doesn't mean that they should be punished for it. And maybe you think that they should, but if that's the case, then all the other teams before them should have been punished as well. And if that's the case, then I'm perfectly fine with you saying the Wizards tank should be punished. If you're doing that for other teams, then sure. But because the precedent has been set for all of these years that the league is going to be very soft if they even do try to punish a team for tanking, there's just no reason to get upset or bent over because a team like the Wizards is doing this for Trae Young, right? And so you can let Knicks fans and everyone else kind of clamor about and be upset that the Wizards are doing this, but I think under league rules, it's semi-ethical and I think legal. And until Adam Silver and the league say otherwise, the Wizards are just going to continue to be cautious. And I also saw that obviously a lot of people are saying that how are the Wizards going to trade for Trae Young when he's injured? Like, they knew he was injured. That's an easy answer. But there's also people that are obviously calling for the league to punish them because they acquire Trae Young, who was some people saying practicing before games. Like, Tyrese Haliburton's also practicing and warming up before games. That doesn't mean he's going to see the court. He's out for the season. They were saying that Trae Young was healthy enough to play towards the end of his Hawks tenure and certainly should be back for the Wizards. I raise you this, right? Easy example. Last season, the Toronto Raptors traded for Brandon Ingram. Gave up their first round, gave up one of their first round picks, for BI, but also brought him in knowing that in December I think they acquired him at the deadline in February, but in December, early December, BI had a sprained ankle. The Pelicans didn't play him, obviously, since then. They knew they were going to trade him. No one had an issue with that then. He gets traded to the Raptors, and again with a sprained ankle, right? Since December, sprained ankles can take time, but sprained ankles certainly don't take 4.5 months to heal. And they had Brandon Ingram sidelined the rest of the season. The Raptors knew that they weren't going to go anywhere. They knew they weren't making the playoffs. They knew they weren't going to win anything. And so they just said, "Hey, Brandon, we're happy to have you. This is a trade that we made for next season, and we're going to give you a nice little extension. But you're not going to play. We're going to just say you have the ankle sprain and you're going to be out for the entire season." I don't think they even declared him out for the whole year until like 2 or 3 games before the end of the season. But it's similar to the Wizards, right? They traded for Trae Young. Again, not a move for this season to compete, but more so a move for the future, especially if they extend him. He came in with injuries, two injuries, and honestly, an MCL sprain, more serious injury than an ankle sprain to me because it's in the knee. And they're going to hold him out too. And there was no punishment for the Raptors for that whole thing with BI. And could Brandon Ingram have played? It's possible, right? But they saw the injury and they were being cautious. And I didn't see anybody calling the Raptors out. And again, they had no punishment for them, not even conversations about it. So I think it's ridiculous to think that the Wizard situation is anything different than that. They both made trades with a future in mind, not really thinking about this season, and certainly made the trade not believing that that player would play for their team because they wanted a higher pick. And so if you're not going to punish the Raptors, there's no precedent, right, to punish the Wizards. And I think the case is pretty clear-cut and closed at that point. And so that's really all I got about Trae Young. I want to talk about the Clippers game. So I don't want to make it all about him, but he's going to miss the next 15 games at least for the Wizards. I believe the All-Star break, their last game for Washington is the 12th of February, and then they come back the 19th of February. So like they'll be reevaluated, and that's a key word I think because it's not that Trae Young will be out until the All-Star break. It's through the All-Star break, and then he'll be reevaluated. So maybe it's he's out, and then he'll be upgraded to questionable for a couple of games where he's back to doing on-court work. Like, I think the Wizards will stretch this out as far as they can until maybe the league office steps in and gives them a little nudge, like, "Hey, man, we think it's gone far enough. We know that he's probably okay to play. Like, we could step in, or you could play him, right?" And so maybe that's the case after the break, but until then, it's official that he's going to be out. So you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to watch Trae Young play. I will say I think the Wizards play the Hawks on the 24th and 26th of February, I believe. So like maybe those are the games he returns, and I don't know if that's circled on his calendar. It seems like it ended on good terms with the Hawks and Young, but that's certainly what I want to talk about to begin the pod. Now shifting gears to the Clippers game again, 119-105 loss. Their fourth straight loss, four straight by double digits. Again, not surprising. The Clippers are playing really good ball. I think they're 11-2 over their last 13. Some people thought they might be a rival or a player in the top of the lottery, someone the Wizards should be concerned about. They're 17-23 now. I don't know if the Wizards will win 17 games. So again, no cause for concern there. They're pretty clear of being any type of lottery threat for the Wizards. But to start the game, Bilal Coulibaly, I don't know how many minutes he played, but obviously he started again, played just 10 minutes, and then the Wizards quickly ruled him out with lower back tightness. Obviously not ideal, right? Bilal had played better recently, had been shooting the ball better from three. Had finally had a stretch of games where he was relatively healthy. Came into the season, after getting finger surgery and then have the calf contusion, have another leg injury, and I think one more after that. So this is his, I think, fifth unique injury this season. He's already missed a bunch of games and lower back tightness. He was ruled out quickly. It wasn't questionable to return. It was just Bilal is out, which again doesn't spell good things for him, I guess for the rest of this road trip. I believe they still have two more games. They still have to play Sacramento on Friday. So will Bilal be healthy? Maybe not. But he was out pretty quickly. And then the second quarter, Alex Saar got ejected. In the first quarter, he got frustrated. I think he didn't get a foul call. Got called for a tech because he voiced his frustration to the ref. And again, Alex never gets teed up. Very, mild-mannered player. So that was the really uncharacteristic of him. And then the second quarter got called for a foul. Sort of slammed the ball down to the court at himself. But again, it is a technical, whether you think it's soft or not, that is a technical foul. And so the refs unfortunately had, stepped in and called it a tee. It was the second. Obviously, Alex was pretty apologetic, I think, after the second tee and where he got ejected. And so he was gone. Obviously he didn't play too bad in his minutes. Had a couple blocks, one on Harden, and another, I don't know if it was on Jordan Miller, across the lane, but finished with two blocks at 4 points, but only played 13 minutes. Obviously was ejected, rather quickly. So again, the Wizards were at that point down 17. They were really just getting dominated interior, like on the inside. Harden couldn't miss from three. Kawhi, I think, had seven threes in the game. They really couldn't get anything going, and it looked like it was going to be another blowout. But then you sort of saw some fight. Like they cut it to 2 points in the fourth quarter, or I guess in the third quarter before. But they cut it to 85-83 after they were down at most 24 points in the first half. Just a really good showing in the third quarter, where they outscored the Clippers 38-26, shot really well, played better defense, and overall, I thought just closed that gap very well. You had some really good minutes from Chris Middleton, who finished with 17 points. Keyshawn George, who finished with 23 points, scored 12 in that quarter. Got to a spots. I thought this was arguably, I think, a top three Keyshawn George game this season, maybe top two behind that Mavericks game. He was awesome tonight. 23 points, 9 of 15 from the field, 5 boards, 4 assists, and I think most importantly, 0 turnovers. He had 6 turnovers last game. He's been a turnover machine. 3 to 4 a game easy. And to have 4 assists, 0 turnovers, had a really nice skip pass to Middleton in the corner for a 3 in the first half. Really enjoyed how he got to the mid-range 3 or 4 times and was cash from there. Knocked down a pair of threes. Got to the cup really at will. I think he got fouled twice. Made 3 of his 4 free throws. Really under control, I thought, floor game from Key. Defense was great too. He had a couple of possessions on Kawhi that I thought was really good defense. Same with Harden. So again, it kind of showcases that two-way prowess for him at a steal. In a 14-point loss in 32 minutes, he was a plus 5. So again, that kind of showcases that the team won his minutes and otherwise didn't win their minutes when he was on the court. But again, really thought that George had a good game. Like I mentioned, Middleton was 17. Thought he had, pretty decent game for his standards. Trey Johnson, 10 points, 4 of 10. Hit a really deep three in transition. Was 2 of 6 from three. Had another one rim out. 3 assists, 2 boards. A couple really bad turnovers. And he gets to these points where he just sort of, he'll figure it out, but he'll just dribble into a place he should not be dribbling into. And then obviously tries to get himself out of it and turns the ball over. So that's not ideal. But again, mediocre game from Trey. Off the bench, I thought that Marvin Bagley again was impressive. 15 points, 11 boards. He was against their rookie, Yanako Niedenhauser. Shout out Penn State. But again, thought Bagley was awesome on the boards like he has been all year. 11, like I said, rebounds, 5 of which were offensive, so kept a bunch of possessions alive. Again, he just continues to be really solid off the bench. And especially when Sarg, gets ejected, he had to step up. He started the second half, played big minutes, nearly 30 for him. So I thought he had a pretty solid game as well. Tristan Vukcevic, very aggressive. And again, it was like a when he's making his shots, awesome. But he came in at the end of the third and he had 8 points in about 4 minutes and then added another bucket in the fourth, hit a mid-range, got to the rim and got fouled. I think he drilled. Did he hit a three? Yeah, he hit a three. Finished with 10 on 3 of 5 from the field in just 8 minutes. But again, was a minus 12. So it just sort of showcases like he can be a volume scorer, but the team is still losing his minutes and he's still being an ineffective, low post interior defender. Especially, when he's scoring like that, I feel like a lot of people can get blinded maybe by the loudness of his buckets. Because again, his jumper is pretty sweet and he's got really good touch around the rim. But until his defense improves and until the team is winning his minutes consistently instead of losing them by a lot consistently, I'm not going to really be too excited, about the prospect of him scoring. You know what I mean? So again, didn't think he was terrible. And then Will Riley, I thought, was actually quite impressive off the bench. Nearly 30 minutes, which is awesome to see. 12 points on 4-7 from the field. He had one sequence in the first half where he drilled a triple from the wing. On the other end, took the ball on the inbounds, dribbled all the way down the floor, got to the cup and won. Had another transition bucket where, and he, in the beginning of the season, I thought he rushed it, but was really calm, got to a spot, finger roll layup. Just overall enjoyed the calmness of his game. You can tell, like, him and Trey both are easing their way into it, playing under more control. They're not as frantic or sped up on the offensive end. And so I thought he was really impressive. Got to the line 3 times, made all of his free throws, finished with 2 boards, 1 assist. So again, thought that he played pretty well offensively. Certainly has a ways to go defensively, was a minus 22. Obviously, he's got to get bigger and stronger, and you know, he gets bullied sometimes down low. But offensively, again, I thought he looked, you know, way more in control, and that was nice to see, especially in transition. So that's some good performances, right? There wasn't too many like awful, awful showings, apart from Bob Carrington, and it sucks because you know obviously Bob was really bad in the beginning of the year, and then had a really good stretch of 8 to 10 games. Tonight looked like first 20 games, Bob. 4 points in 33 minutes, 1 of 11 from the field, 0 of 6 from three, 5 boards, 7 assists, 1 turnover. So again, it's another game. Last game, I think he had 6 assists or something with 1 turnover. Tonight it's 7 assists, 1 turnover, 5 boards. So like that's cool to see. Thought he got his teammates involved pretty well, but again, 1 of 11 is bad no matter how you slice it. And so that was obviously pretty disappointing to see. And if you just look at his like game log over the course of the last couple games, you know, it's 0 of 6 from three, 1 of 3 from three, 3 of 8 from three. You know, he had 5 of 10 against the Sixers, which was great, but then 0 of 4 from three, 1 of 6, 1 of 5. And so ever since he shot 6 of 10 against the Bucks, the 3-point percentage has been way more inefficient and way down. And so obviously you're going to see that when he's shooting his, you know, high volume of threes, and you know, he's not going to be able to make 66% or 60% or whatever he was shooting over that stretch on a consistent basis, right? That's just too difficult and too tough of an ask. But I think over the last couple of games, you've seen some regression, and hopefully it's similar to the beginning of the year where, yes, he has his sort of regression from three, but then, like he did, he has a good stretch where he figures it out, and hopefully when he figures it out, it becomes way more consistent. He doesn't have these lulls too often. But apart from that, I thought the Wizards showed good fight. You got to give Brian Keefe some credit because, obviously, on the road trip, like they could have easily fell over and folded. Clippers were in full control. They had lost Bilal and Sarr, two of their best defenders. And I thought since that moment that they were without Sarr, they played really well. Defensively, they locked in. Offensively, they got to their spots. And I thought Keyshawn and Middleton really took over. Bagley got them second possessions. And they fought, right? And that's what you want to see from a young team. Obviously, they have the freedom to take a lot of shots. Trey Johnson had 2 transition threes. I don't think either of them hit the rim. And I'm not talking about the one that he met from 30 feet, but like ones where he got the ball and dribbled into it himself. They were pretty bad looks. But the Wizards, again, are going to let him shoot it. Bob Carrington continued to shoot from three, even though he didn't have it going. At a couple mid-range fadeaways that I don't think touched the rim. So you start to see, you know, obviously what the problem is with the Wizards. They don't have a point guard that can settle them into their offense. They're kind of all over the place, and they're taking all these wild shots that you probably wouldn't want to take in most offenses. But when wins aren't the priority and losses honestly help you more than anything, they're just allowing these guys to sort of play free, and they're figuring it out. And sometimes, like Trey Johnson can't miss, he looks amazing. O'Reilly and all them, but times like tonight, you know, sort of showcase the negative effects, right? And so, credit to the Wizards for fighting back and obviously making it a game. But in the end, obviously Kawhi couldn't miss. Harden was pretty good and lost to a Clippers team that's playing good basketball. And so that's sort of what the recap is. I'm sure most of you didn't watch the game. It was a 10:30 start. Especially if you did start to watch it, you saw them down 17 at the or 15 at the end of the first quarter. You probably turned it off and went to bed. Honestly, probably a good call and better call than me, who stayed up and is now at 1:26 a.m. the night before. I obviously have class tomorrow. I'm recording this pod, but always going to be here to recap the games for you. And this recap is probably more important if you didn't watch the game, so you can just get a 30-minute recap of it. In better news, the Kings won again tonight, and so did the Pelicans. And so if you look at the tank standings, and I've been doing this at the end of each episode, and when they were winning, obviously it wasn't as exciting to do this segment. The other parts of the show were way more fun, but this segment specifically because they were moving up in the standings, and obviously that's not the most ideal. But if you look at it now, the Kings have won three in a row, and they are now at 11-30. They have 11 wins, and they've leapfrogged the Wizards to be the fourth worst team. And the Wizards are now the third worst team at 10-29, 2 games better than the Pelicans, who are I think they've won two of their last three, obviously including a win over the Wizards. But they're now 10-33, so they have the exact same amount of wins as Washington. And then you have the Pacers, who had won three in a row before losing tonight. They're at 9 wins and 32 losses, so 2 games separate the Wizards from the third worst record to the worst record. And I believe the Pelicans play the Pacers on Friday. Yeah, they're at New Orleans, Pelicans, Pacers, which again is a perfect, it's a win-win if you're the Wizards. You know, the Pelicans win, they're at 11 wins. The Wizards are now, wins-wise, the second worst team. Indiana wins, there's now a three-way tie for at the bottom with 10 wins, and you're starting to see these bottom-tier teams going these like a little bit of good runs and quality stretches like you saw with the Wizards. While obviously the Wizards have lost four in a row by double figures and are obviously not playing good basketball, and it's by design. But again, this is why I sort of warn Wizards fans, like, don't panic because they're winning games. And it's why I wrote an article. It's pretty fitting for now. And the title was, "Yes, Wizards fans, they're going to keep their pick. You should enjoy these wins." Because if you didn't enjoy those wins, now you're watching the team that you saw over the first three, 23 games with a 3-20 start that was getting the doors blown off them every game. I mean, they've lost four in a row by double digits. I think all four by 14 or more points. Like, this can't be fun for Wizards fans. And the only redeeming quality is, in the end, it is probably beneficial. But again, this is why I try to tell Wizards fans not to panic. The team is bad. They know they need to keep their pick. And the way these teams around them are playing, by Friday, because I think the Wizards actually play the Kings on Friday. So by Friday, let's say the Wizards lose that game. Let's say that Indiana ends up defeating New Orleans. The Wizards are pretty comfortably a game or 2 games back in the win column of Sacramento to be in the third worst record. And then it's a three-way tie between them and two other teams for the NBA's worst record in terms of just wins. Because obviously every team has played a different amount of games. The Wizards, the less amount of games than the other two. And so I think tank standings-wise, it's actually going really well. And by the end of the weekend, the Wizards could be the second worst team. And it's obviously possible that they could be the worst team, like, if Indiana rattles off a couple wins. And so, obviously, another loss for the Wiz, not ideal fun-wise, but they're holding Trae Young out for 15 games. They have the top eight protected pick. Like, it is going according to plan, and obviously, the more they lose, the better. But also, the more that these teams around them win, the better. Brooklyn needs to start winning some games. Obviously, they've lost. I think how many in a row? 5-8 over their last 10. But yeah, apart from that, looking good in the tank standings. Trae Young's going to be out at least the next 15 games for the All-Star break, according to Shams Charania of ESPN. And the Wizards lost again, their fourth straight loss, 119-105 to the Clippers. They're back on Friday for the third game of this four-game road trip against Sacramento Kings. Obviously, it's like the Pelicans game. The Kings are playing really good basketball, and I think they'll probably beat the Wizards anyway, but let's say that they do. It's another result where it's a win because the Kings won, but it's also a win because the Wizards lost, and it's a bigger separation there, just like you saw with the Pelicans. So that's gonna do it for this episode. Wizards fall 119-105 to the Clippers and to 10-29 on the season. I'll be back on Friday to recap the Kings versus Wizards game. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.